morning, everyone gathered for the Mighty Men Conference, and good morning especially to Dr. Maduba and your lovely wife. Thank you for asking me to be part of this. Though it's very tough, you know, I'm kind of trying to be in two places all at the same time, but I'm grateful to the Lord to be part of what God is doing there in Port Harcourt. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you. Speak to our men. Take us back to the original blueprint you had when you made man. In these short minutes that we have together, invest things in the lives of everyone that will be listening, not only those that are gathered in the conference, but those that will listen from around the world, even after. Invest things that will cause life transformation, and the ripple effect will affect families, will affect businesses, and will end up affecting our society. That your name be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I know that my time, you know, just a little time left, because I'm supposed to be on for about an hour. I'm going to be coming on maybe for about 30 minutes, maximum 40. And I want to take us back to the original plan God had in his mind when he made man. And that is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, so that they can have dominion." So God made us in his image. God made us in his likeness. So if Adam did not mess up the plan, once a child is born into this world, especially the males, but it's the same thing for the females. Once a child is born into this world, he will be functioning according to that original software. But then came sin, and Adam blew up the plan. And then God had to send the second Adam to come and fix what the original, the first Adam damaged. So I want to announce at the beginning that Jesus not only came to save us, he came to restore all things that Adam messed up. So if redemption includes restoration, then we should go back to how we were designed to function from the beginning. We should go back there, find the blueprint in scripture, and go back there and begin to function as men and women. No society will be healthy until the men in that society are healthy. It is the manhood crisis that turns families upside down, that turns societies upside down. Check most of the people who are causing the problems. Who are the kidnappers? 99% men. Who are the rapists? Of course, 100% men. Who are the armed robbers? 99% men. Who are the corrupt politicians? Let's bring the percentage down a little. Let's give men 95%. Because women are beginning to play into that space. Who are the people who cause war? 99% men. They start war, women and children die in it. No family can be stable because the man is the foundation of the family, is the foundation of the nation. God did not start creation by creating a man and a woman. No, he created a man first. He was trying to be deliberate to show that men are the foundation. And I'm glad this is called Mighty Men Conference. Men from all over. And I think I want to really affirm this. It has to be God that gave you this vision, Dr. Maduba, at this time of crisis, to rally for men from everywhere. Because if you solve the manhood problem, then you solve the problem of the church. If you solve the manhood problem, you solve the problem of the family. If you solve the manhood problem, you solve the problem of the society. I know in some places I hear, you know, of mothers that also abandon their children. Yes, it happens. But it's less. It's usually men that will be in beer parlor, you know, take off with one other woman and all that. But don't worry, I'm aware that modern women now, are becoming something else. So one of these days, it will be women conference. Let's address womanhood crisis. So let me talk to us just for a few minutes on the quest for authentic manhood. The quest. We need to go on that quest to rebuild what Adam damaged. To join Jesus in restoring manhood back to God's original plan. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, where Moses was writing God's blueprint for creating man, God's original vision, I got to learn later that that letter, that book that he wrote originally, was written to the Jewish people. The first five books of the Bible, they were written to Jewish people, but they were written to Jewish people that were in bondage in the land of Egypt, that he was asked to go and rescue. So when you are pursuing men ministry, sometimes you are dealing with men that are drunkards, men that are adulterers, men that are on drug, men that are kidnappers, men that are ritual killers, men that are whatever. There is nothing you are dealing with, men that are into occult, men that have all sorts of problems, and these problems they have is what is affecting men that are corrupt politicians. There is nothing you are dealing with that will be worse than what Moses was dealing with. Moses was dealing with men at ground zero, that is, falling man flat on the floor. Men that are so fallen, they were under spiritual oppression, demons feasting in them in Egypt. They were under economic oppression, poverty. You're talking about slaves here. They were under mental oppression. They were under emotional oppression, rejection. They don't believe in themselves. They were under political oppression because the kingdom of Egypt under Pharaoh was oppressing them. And Moses was asked to go and rescue these people and take them to the promised land. And you can see that today, Israel is among the first three first-class nations of the world. These people now are the number one exporters of agricultural products. They are the startup capital nation in the world. But Moses started that project with slaves. So if the men you are dealing with in your church, in your sphere, in your workplace are so low, don't worry. There is a blueprint that can transform them. Moses discovered it. And thank God that it is written in the pages of the scripture. We can all learn what it is. And then if we use the same principle, we can build very powerful men in our churches. We can build it in our homes. As parents, you can raise world champion in your home, starting with your children. Jesus died to redeem men. And remember that according to Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, that God's original purpose is for man to have dominion. We were created to be rulers, not to be slaves. There is no man God created to be a failure. We are created success. We are created to be kings and priests. But there are five viruses, that word virus or bacteria, that destroy men. I'm going to tell you what they are, then I'll take you to the solution immediately. There are five sicknesses. There are five wounds that men sustain, and it turns them into another thing. Some end up looking like monsters. You see men in the streets begging. Something happened to that young child, that man. It might be when he was a baby. It might be later as an adult. You see men carrying gun, robbing. Something damaged that man. Our society is filled with damaged men. We must know how to go after them and restore them. But let's do the diagnosis and I'll give you the cure. What are those five wounds? Once a man sustains them and they are not treated, his journey starts, becomes a downward trend. And the next thing, that life will be ruined. Men's ministry is one of the most important ministries. We do children ministry, we do teens ministry or youth ministry, we do ministry of the river, we do also, and we ignore men. You ignore men, you ignore foundation. Women and children hang on them. Let me give you an illustration. I'll create a picture now so you see who men are. If I compare the human family to the plant kingdom. Because I can compare it to the animal kingdom. I can compare it to a building. If I compare the human family to a building, where is the man in the equation? Foundation. The foundation of the building. All foundations are fathers. Then what comes out of the foundation that rises up that building, that puts covering over the, is the woman. So let me go back to the comparison I'm looking for. The plant kingdom. A plant begins with a seed. The seed is the foundation. That's the man. Then when you put the seed in the soil, that thing that germinates out of it and now grow, you call it a tree. That's the mother. All mothers are trees. All men are seeds. When a tree now grow, the seed converts and becomes root. That's who men are. The root of a tree, the one that goes on the ground, you don't see it, but that's what carries everything. That's the man in the family. Then the tree is the woman. You always know a woman because it's the fruit bearing arm, the one that gives birth to, carries children. Notice it's not the root that carries fruits, it's the tree that carries fruit, but it's the root that carries the tree and carries all the fruit. If the root caves in, both the tree and everything goes. So it's the man that is the foundation of the family. It's the man that carries both his wife and his whole family. Then the fruits you find on the tree, those are the children. So we call them fruit of the womb. Now watch. The fruit can be separated from the tree and there is nothing wrong. Because a fruit will stay on the tree till it's ripe. So children are born in the family, they stay, they grow until they become ripe, they become an adult. And then the Bible said it is time to leave father and mother and go and cleave to your own wife and start a new family. So a tree will finally pluck off when it's mature and it will fall on the soil and start a new family. So after a while, one tree can now create a forest of the same type of tree. That's how the human family grew. So God did not start with many trees. He started with one man by the name of Adam. He only started the human family with a seed. The second question will be, where does the tree come from? The tree comes from the seed. The moment you plant a seed, the seed opens up. And from that side that is open, a tree comes up. So when God planted Adam, he opened his side. That's what we call germination. Out of his side, a woman came up. It is the children that required the two of them to produce, father and mother. Just like a tree comes out of a seed. That's how a woman, your wife, came out of you. But let me ask you, as a man, because you are the root, will you allow somebody to be cutting down your branches anyhow and you think it doesn't affect you? It's like us in the body. They say Jesus is the head, we are his body. But the head and the body, are they no one? Do you see now why the Bible teaches us that a man should love his wife as his own body? Because the tree and the root are one. Just like Christ, the head and his body is one. So when you see a man beating his wife, abusing his wife, you know something has gone wrong. That's what I mean. There are damaged men everywhere. And what is it? Because if you see a human being walking about in the street, beating himself, stabbing, you think he needs some mental, some psychiatric. It's something that makes men behave like that. Some of them violent, some of them. I will just mention the sicknesses. I won't have the time to go into full diagnosis of it, because I can see what's happening with my time. this understanding did a lot for me. But when I'm doing something for my wife, I'm actually doing it for myself. It's not another person. It's my rib that is now made. And you see how after God made it, he then brought her back to the man and said, now the two shall become one. Because they were original one before they were separated. They were actually one before they were separated. And it's the same thing that happened on the cross. Before God could bring the church, he let them pierce the side of Jesus until Jesus gave up the ghost. And then when they pierced his side, water and blood came out. That's when the new creation also came out. We came out of him. The scripture says we are bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh, just like it is between a man and his wife. This is taking manhood to the family sector. But manhood affects the whole society. Manhood affects companies, businesses. Manhood affects churches. A church can be filled with women, and that will be fine. But if you want a church that will have dominion, you have to be good men. You have to build men. You have to build men. And there is a way to build men. There are certain things that if we understand, men will be flocking. If you only understand the feminine side of ministry, and which is one side of God, God is father and mother, you will pull in a lot of women. Men have three problems. It's called PMS. PMS. Power, money, and sex. If you know how to address it constructively, you will have a lot of men. Can I say it again? P, power. M, money. S, sex. Those are the three temptations that was given to Jesus. Power is the pride of life. Money is the lust of the eyes. Sex is the lust of the flesh. These are the three challenges all men have issues with. Okay, let's look at these three ways men are damaged. Men are damaged. And the first one I'm going to address is the one that damaged Adam. It's called the black heart wound. Black heart. Anybody that is infected by this disease, his nature changes negatively. The person gets born again backward. You go from looking like God to looking like Satan. Your nature goes from good to bad. And you can see a lot of young people, some grew up in good homes. You now see that they are criminals. They are bad boys causing problems in society. Anybody that gets infected by this, he is damaged inside, in his innermost being. The damage occurs in the human spirit. So the heart of man's problem is the problem of man's heart. This is a problem of the heart. The real you, he goes there and damages you and turns you into a monster. I'm sure you will know that after Adam rebelled against God, he did not recognize himself. He became enslaved by sin. Sin now struck him. Sin is not just something you do and just walk away. No, no, no. It injects his DNA inside you, a poison that starts a process of corruption. I have a few people in my audience here this morning, and you know, not just them, but I can hear also men too. And a few women. It will help the women understand their husband, what is could be wrong, and now you can know the appropriate treatment. You see, when it comes to black heart, evil heart, the nature of Satan, the sin nature, it was caused by rebellion against God. You see, when relationship with your maker breaks, severes, it triggers. So we have another word we use in theology to talk about a spiritual death. That's what I'm talking about. A person is still living physically. You see him, he combs his hair, he drives a good car. But the man inside has died, because death is separation. disconnection. You know what I mean? If you climb a palm tree and cut off a palm branch and bring it on the floor, when you come, it will still be fresh. You come in the evening, it's still looking green. Yeah, that thing is dead. Because the moment you disconnect something from its source of life, it's dead. If I cut off somebody's hand right now, it will still be looking fresh, like the other hand still attached. And you keep it on this table. 3 hours, you come back. You know there is bleeding, it will still be looking fresh. If you smell it, you won't see any decay. Leave it for 2 days, 3 days. When you come, do you know how rotten meat smells? Dead animals that are, you know how they smell? It will start, and then the process will now trigger and go on. You see, it was dead, but the effect, the manifestation of death, didn't happen immediately. It started gradually. When Adam died, after he rebelled against God, he still lived for 930 years. You see, that life he was receiving from God still lasted, sustained his physical body for up to 930. You know, since the rebellion of Noah's generation, it has become worse. Because the original rebellion brought spiritual death. But Noah's rebellion, I'm not talking about Noah, I'm talking about generation of Noah that led to the flood. Their own rebellion affected the lifespan so much that it drastically reduced by 90%. Were dropped around 120. Even today, to reach that 120 is a problem for many people. That black heart now made man a monster, a wild beast. Man became evil in his nature. So now the man with black heart, his name is Adam. Remember that Adam is the seed, the root. Then Eve was the tree. Now they produce their first fruit. The first child, Cain. Guess what? Nobody taught him. He has never watched a movie. He has never heard the story that somebody killed. He was the originator, the inventor of murder. He killed his own brother. Where did a young man that has never seen murder learn how to kill? You see, when something happens to the heart, it happens to DNA. It becomes nature. So the problem of the heart is at the root of the problem of men. Those who want to see a new society, a new families, a new, must bring men and reconcile them back to their maker. Bring them where they connect back to that original life that was disconnected. And when the connection happens, the divine life, the eternal life, the nature of God pulls back divine electricity, life. I'm talking about life now, not anointing. Life. It pulls back life, like raising somebody from the dead. The reason that this is more than raising from the dead. This is raising somebody from spiritual death. There is a quickening power that happens. Sins are forgiven, but you see now, if that quickening does not happen, if you just forgive a man his sin, you have not solved this problem because his nature is still bad. He will sin again. That problem of the heart is the first thing Jesus came to resolve. And then the problem of reconciliation, bringing a strained relationship that was strained, cut off, and bring God and his son back together into relationship. And then with that reconciliation, so many things flows. The love of the Father is restored. Because you see, that son that's separated from his heavenly Father also suffers from rejection. He doesn't have faith. He doesn't have self-confidence. He has a lot of issues. He's subject to evil spirits that are harassing him. But you see, all of those problems that are hitting him, he comes back home with them. He lashes out at the people closest to him. His wife and children are among the first recipients. When a man finds the love of his heavenly Father, he now has love to give to others. Because when a person, you can't give people what you don't have. When a man lacks it, he doesn't even like himself. And he treats people based on that self-hatred. He projects outward. A crisis going on inside him. He has failed God so many times, failed his family so many times. So he's always with a lot of guilt. And then he wants to be a better person, but he keeps getting worse. And he will go out lashing out. There are pastors with black heart wounds. There are political leaders with it. You ask me, how does a pastor, through sin, it's when you rebel against God, and it's repentance and reconciliation that heals you inside. And if you don't, you get worse. The wound festers. Start by sleeping with one church member, it will move to two, it will move to. And then inside you get worse. The giants that were being a redeemer, cringes, become enslaved by Satan. I've met ministers on drugs. It started with something, and then they took. And they thought it would just stop. And they come and still preach. My friend, the beginning of recovery is repentance. And then you ask God, not just that sins be remitted, you now ask him to create in you a clean heart, oh God. This is a man that fell. Look at how he prayed in Psalm 51. He didn't just say, forgive me. Forgiveness is not enough, because sin has entered and has touched the woman's spirit. So he said, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Even after taking God your Holy Spirit from me, you can ask for the restoration and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Then he empowers you to be back. And that is one component, the human spirit fixed. When you fix the human spirit, you fix the giant within. Then the man can perform the way he is meant to be. Because originally he was created in the image of God. And that damaged image is what you have fixed. I can see. Okay, let me just see if I can address three of these wounds. There is a second wound that affects men. This time is not in their hearts. It's in their mind. Yeah. You have cured the heart through salvation, the new better spirits, reconciliation with the Father. But if you don't cure this mind, is a black mind wound, a dark mind, a darkened mind. And there are two diseases there. One is the problem of ignorance. The other is the problem of visionlessness. No direction. A man has no direction for his life. And a man that has ignorance, he is not trained, he is not mentored, he is not taught. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. A man can be born again and still be underperforming because of ignorance. His spirit is saved, his mind is dark. He has a dark understanding. So if you have observed in Genesis 26, God said, we'll make man in our image. So when you get the image solved, the second thing he said, we'll make them in our likeness. A lot of people don't know the difference. The image of God is the nature of God, the character of God, God's moral nature. But the likeness of God is the wisdom of God. That's where revelation knowledge comes in. The dark mind is liberated by revelation, by the light of the knowledge of God, truth, the word. The dark mind is also liberated to an extent by education. You may not have had the privilege of going to formal education. Yes. Because you will not perform at your capacity with ignorance. No. Get some form of training, formal or informal. If you're a businessman, you are not performing well, make somebody that is a high flyer your mentor. Because there are wisdom for business success. That's what is missing. You can go into the same area, other people. One man is going into, he's into motor parts or motorcycle parts, and he's succeeding. You come in there, put your money, and lose all your money because there are business secrets. It is the wisdom of Solomon that is responsible for the wealth of Solomon, not the other way around. Stop looking for who will give you money. Search for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. in all thy getting, get it. You see, dark mind, black mind, you can be behaving like you are not born again because of ignorance of the word. You have received Christ in your heart, but you are still misbehaving because darkness is still in your mind. But the Bible said we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's the word of God that we load in our software, in our computers, that changes. When you are transformed, you go from one form to another. Like when a maggot goes from maggot to butterfly. You see? It's called metamorphosis. It's the word of God that does this one. So salvation is not enough. After salvation, pursue transformation. Pursue personal transformation. And you get it through knowledge. Submit yourself to somebody who can mentor you and grow you and mature you. You might even be a minister. There are baby pastors everywhere. God called me. They run up, open a church. No, no, no. There is preparation before manifestation. Get under somebody and serve. And maybe now you have launched that work. Okay, at least establish a mentorship, a fathering relationship with somebody that is better than you, that can help you. So you can mature. Your mind can be liberated. Because the mind is a terrible thing to waste. If your spirit is liberated and your mind is not, you will still be crippled. And there are more men crippled inside than those on the wheelchair outside. And we pray for the sick physically, but we fail to recognize that Jesus said we are to open the eyes of the blind. Mental blindness is worse than physical blindness. If you are physically blind, you can still see. And you can still be successful. If you are mentally blind, then you are blind indeed. And you know that one of those blindness is the lack of purpose, the lack of vision, the lack of direction for your life. You don't know why you are in existence. You don't have a direction. You don't have vision. Visionless men. Oh, I see some of them. Some of them marry very, you know, beautiful women or hardworking women. And they just like, it's the woman feeding the whole family. Is it not the root that feeds the tree and the fruits? Now it's the tree that feeds the root. There's nothing wrong with your wife working, contributing. But when she becomes the soul, whatever, something goes wrong. Because when there is no vision, potentials are not realized. Capacity is undermined. Amazingly, sir, my time is up, but I will just take 5 more minutes. I had one more of this wound, and I thought we'll be able to go further than this, but I'm sure this project will now become annual, so that very soon we'll be there live to tackle the issue of manhood. This is one of my areas of calling. I'm telling you the truth. God giving me 7 assignments, and I know what they are, so I've gone done a lot of research. One of them is the youths, you know, and so on and so forth. One of them is ministers. So everybody has their areas of assignment. The restoration of manhood is at the heart of the restoration of society. We want to solve this problem of Nigeria. Men. This one now is a wound at the emotion. You see, the soul has the mind, the will, and the emotion. There's another wound that hits a man, and it's not his mind. The man can go to the best schools. He can be born again. He can be very brilliant, but he carries another wound, and this inner wound cripples him. A wound is called rejection. It's an emotional wound. None of us is born with it. But, you know, children leave heaven perfect, but they get damaged on earth. There are many sources of that wound. Many a time, it's from the family. If a man is disconnected from his earthly father and reconciliation does not happen fast, a wound is inflicted on the child, the progenitor. I mean, the offspring, not the progenitor. If you have issue with your earthly father as a man, and it's even worse, if you let that thing stay so long and he dies and you never got the chance, you are likely to carry the wound of rejection for the rest of your life. It's not only our relationship with our Heavenly Father that affects us. Every man wants to make his father proud. Every man wants to hear from his father, "Well done, son." There is something the Heavenly Father did for Jesus when he was here. Before, and I'm going to stop here, but I'm going to give you guys three secrets here. If you, God has blessed you with male children, there's something you need to know about raising them. If you make a mistake here, in many cases, pastors won't be able to cure the damage you caused starting from home. Society won't be able to cure it. It's something the Heavenly Father did for Jesus. Before he performed one miracle, before he won any soul, before he accomplished anything, at the beginning of his ministry, John just baptized him in water and he came out. Then the Heavenly Father baptized him with the Holy Spirit. Then God said to his son, "You are my beloved son. I am well pleased with you." It's called affirmation, a father's affirmation. It's like infusing you with a trillion tons of energy within. You know, there is a proverb that any man his father beats drawn for will jump the wall of the spirit. This affirmation is not based on you just hear the blind man. He has not done anything. This is when you infuse confidence, infuse manhood, infuse strength into your male kids. You give them believability as credit first. And that will lead them to rise to the top of their class. Many underperforming men were damaged by the destructive words of their fathers. And do you know what now happens to them? They run more to their mothers and become mommy's boys. The problem with being a mommy's boy is you get all the hug, "I don't mind your dad," all those. But when you go out in society, you fail. When you face your fellow men in contests there, you fail. And they always like to cry and come back. Mommy, can you hear me? Okay, beat me in school. And in some cases, the mother will rush up to go and fight another mother or fight another child for his male child. He's destroying the child without knowing. What ends up happening is that physically the man will develop and grow up. You look at him, he's a handsome man, but he's still a boy. He finds a woman, usually they get attracted to a hard-working woman who or hugging them and mommying them, because it's a mother that they are looking for. When they start looking for a wife, they are looking for a mother. Because you see, underdeveloped emotionally, his development stopped when he was 3 years old or 5 years old. Physically, he has grown. He can't stop womanizing. You wonder what is the problem of the riverine areas. Forgive me, our friends from the waterside. I know some of you are now in the hand of God. The potter is remolding you. But there is a general problem. You see it in South Africa. You see it in the Caribbeans with African Americans. You see it in many, many of time. What you see there is absentee father. The father is not involved in the raising of the boys. It's the mother. That child grows with a damage because there is a craving in the heart of every child for his father. You might not be there so much, but the words of affirmation, "You are my son. I believe in you. You are capable of so much. When I look at you, I see a giant killer. When I look at you, I see potential." And you speak to me. And not just that, also learning to bless your children. Because the words of fathers are next only to the words of God. The blessings of fathers are as powerful as the blessings of God. Go read your Bible. It's what Jacob said over his sons that stayed. Go and see the one Moses. Now you see, there are only two people giving capacity to bless like God, to bless as deputies of God. One, men and women of God, priests, authentic priests. The other are fathers. Now, there's nothing wrong with your mom blessing you. Get your mom's blessing, but that's not what will shape your destiny. It's your father's blessing. It wasn't the mother's blessing that shaped the destiny of the 12 tribes of Israel? Judah. If the mother said, Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, he won't hold. Why is it that Rebecca helped Jacob to get venison so that the father can bless him? You that are women, take note of what I'm telling you. Don't disconnect a child from his father hoping that you can shape them. You will damage them. Of course, women that understand what I'm talking about, if their husband dies early and you are left to raise them boys, you have to find them either a spiritual father like a pastor that will be close to those boys, or you find them one of their uncles. The problem is that in the part of the world where we live, these uncles want to take advantage of the children, take their inheritance. So he leaves us with, well, you have to find somebody. If he's one of their uncle, one of their relatives that is strong, that is whatever, connect the boys. The men need men to transit to manhood. Yes, thank God for cooking for us. Thank God for hugging. Oh, my child. Thank God for, but a man, a young child needs a man to transit. If not, what you end up producing women is called feminized men. They wear trousers, but they are women. When something needs courage, you see their feminine thing will show. They go and have lost the job again every time, story upon story. You go, is their wife carrying most of the family? You see a lot of women going through a lot of stuff. They have men in their life. Oh. The man is another woman. How do you solve this problem? Forgive your father. Men are not perfect now. You're expecting perfection from a man. You don't know how his own father raised him. You don't know what he went through. You expected him to be there. You don't know how he came up. Realize that just like you're hurting, that man was also a hurting man that grew up. He now became your father. Forgive him. Release him. Release him. He has given the best. He gave you life.